tell me about Unit 8200.
Well, my time at Unit 8200 was the most exciting period in my life.
I'm Scott McGrew. Welcome to Sand Hill Road.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
This week on Sand Hill Road, Shlomo Kramer, one of the richest men in Israel, the founder of a company that just raised a $248 million round from Lightspeed, and the godfather of Israeli cybersecurity.
Did you know that you are the godfather of Israeli cybersecurity?
I heard this term being used before, but I think there are many godfathers to this success. I've done well, you know, and I lived an interesting life. So that's a benefit.
Kramer is the founder of what is now his country's largest tech company, Checkpoint, and the founder of a new company, the one that got the funding from Lightspeed, called Cato, which specializes in SASE. That's S-A-S-E.
When I was a kid, that stood for self-addressed stamped envelope.
Well, you can direct your comments to Gartner. Gartner looked at what we did and called it SASE. So about the name, I'm not responsible.
SASE, that's Secure Access Service Edge, rethinks cybersecurity from an appliance that sits on a server's network to a service that floats in the cloud.
And yes, we are replacing appliance vendors like Cisco, like Fortinet, like Palo. We are replacing also MPLS and SD-WAN, standalone SD-WAN vendors like VeloCloud. And we're replacing a bunch of other security point solutions in security. Yeah.
All because the way that people store data and move data has changed so much from a central location out into the cloud.
Well, it's because digital transformation of the business has increased the pressure on IT security to be much more agile and much more fluid and deliver security everywhere and in a much faster pace. But it's also true that the threat landscape has become much more complicated.
You raised $238 million for a valuation of $3 billion from Lightspeed. I assume you had your choices. Why Lightspeed?
Well, Lightspeed has been a great partner for us over the last few years. And, you know, we felt very comfortable with expanding that partnership. And, you know, they just started kind of a mezzanine fund, so we went with that.
You yourself are an early investor, sometimes the first money in a number of companies, Sumo Logic, for instance. On the companies that you don't create, but you do invest in, what grabs your attention? What makes you think this is a company that I want to be involved in?
I don't need to invest. So I'm really looking for problems that excite me. And usually these are big problems, like how am I going to move log management to the cloud? I'm an early investor in Palo Alto. So how am I going to create an appliance that is enterprise ready and simplifies the, that was 20 years ago, simplifies the security. So really looking at Etbay, which is a cyber insurance company. How do you create, how do you merge risk with underwriting of insurance and create a kind of a hybrid new animal and address what will be the biggest risk in the future for businesses, which is cyber risk. So I'm looking for big problems that are not addressed yet. And I always invest in kind of very early on. Few people, perhaps some slides, in the very early stages.
You said you don't have to invest, and that's possibly because you're worth several billion dollars. You're listed as one of the richest people in your country. Is that something that you anticipated when you were younger?
I was always I was always in for the love of the game. Actually, that's we never thought about kind of the financial outcome when we started Checkpoint. We were internet enthusiasts in 1992, where just as the internet got deregulated, and we believed that this is a major revolution for humankind, and we can be part of it, and we were excited, and so on and so forth. When we started Cato with Gur Schatz, my co-founder, we were excited about building this completely new way of consuming and delivering security. So it's about the love of the game.
So a tremendous number of very good cybersecurity companies come out of Israel. And you told Mikal Levram, you think that's because there are so many people that have experience with the Israeli Defense Forces because cyber attacks can be used by military, Russia, for instance, and whatnot. You were in Unit 8200.
Right.
Unit 8200 is the Israeli Defense Forces Cyber Intelligence Unit.
Well, it was many years ago. I won't disclose my age, but it was a different era. I will say that with all of the career that I had and amazing teams that I was a part of, at Checkpoint, at Imperva, at Cato, still my time at Unit 8200 was the most exciting period in my life. And it's exciting because you're very young, I was 21, and you are given responsibility in the most in ways that you would never get in the commercial market at that age, and obviously you are taught that everything is possible, and you can make rich achievements that are beyond what you believed. And so when Checkpoint succeeded, it was obvious. Yes, of course, we are the leading firewall company in the world. Everything is possible, right? So that's it. I would say that the core of the talent back then was from the, from the IDF. But over the years, I think there's been a second generation, a third generation, now a fourth generation of entrepreneurs. And there's a mentoring system, right? So if I worked with a co-founder at Imperva, and that co-founder became a founder of a new startup and had an apprentice that started a new startup. So now I have grandchildren already. And that's the way that this ecosystem is built, and now it's self-perpetuating already. Yeah. And I would say that it's equivalent to the Silicon Valley in terms of the, at least in cyber.
Sandhill Road will be right back.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
You've been concerned for quite some time about other, you know, countries using cyber attacks on other countries. You called for an addition to the Geneva Convention. For instance, no cyber attacks on hospitals would be a new rule. Now, we see physical attacks. Let's acknowledge we see physical attacks on hospitals on television. But I think your point is let's recognize a military cyber attack on a hospital can be as dangerous and deadly as an actual weapon attack on a hospital.
So I would start with the fact that, first of all, the short answer is yes. And that hospital today is not protected by any international law against a cyber attack. And two, is left to fend to itself against cyber attack. While physical attacks, obviously the government is of a legitimate country, is protecting that hospital and against physical attack, kinetic attacks, and against cyber attacks, not so much.
And it makes sense for the international community to get together and say, listen, if hospitals are off, you know, out of bounds in physical kinetic attacks, they certainly ought to be out of bounds in cyber attacks as well.
It's absolutely, you need to define the limits of the cyber warfare against in battle, and you need to have well-defined perimeters around that, and I don't think we have that today. But there's a flip side to that, which means that the government needs to participate in the protection of its citizens against cyber attacks, which also is not the case today to a large extent. I need, as a medium-sized business, to buy the cyber protections out of my budget and train my people out of my budget in order to protect against attacks that may come from an enemy of the country.
You're saying that, you know, a country like the United States that protects its shores with the U.S. Coast Guard ought to be protecting its companies with some sort of national effort.
It needs to do so in a non-intrusive way. And you know, perhaps this is more of a training and regulation and budget support, etc. But there needs to be a way in which the citizen rights to be protected is expanded also to the cyberspace.
My last question for you is, I understand one of your very first jobs was in a computer store. Describe that to me. How did you get the job?
I was both the sales guy and the sales engineer to personal computers way, even before there was an IBM personal computer. So it was the first generation of the Dragon and the Radio Shacks and the Sinclair, depending on which country you are. Yes. There was so I was a computer enthusiast, and I sold them and explained the benefits and perhaps developed some applications and whatnot to help sell them. As I told you, it was for the love of the game.
How old were you at the time?
I was 16, 17. That's the first time where I encountered the concept of a startup, because we sold not only computers, we sold also accessories, so like games that came on audio cassettes, if you remember that. And you know, one of the famous games, somebody told me, hey, this is a guy our age living in the UK that started a company around this and now is selling it around the world. And I remember that moment of being able to start a company with a product and sell it, and somebody like me do that, that was a transformative thought.
Shlomo Kramer, serial entrepreneur, founder of Checkpoint and Cato. Sandhill Road is produced by Sean Myers under the leadership of Sarah Bueno and Stephanie Adruni. For more interviews with Silicon Valley's most influential entrepreneurs, check me out on TV at Press Here. That's Sunday mornings on NBC Bay Area and everywhere in the world on iTunes and at PressHereTV.com.